confirming a replacement for Eric Holder as Attorney General and leader of the Justice Department looks like a tough job for President Obama right now. Congress won't do anything until the lame duck session after the election, and most of the names floated so far have baggage that could at least hold up their nominations if they were ever even nominated in the first place. But three names are making the rounds now, and they may not be as tough to get through confirmation hearings and a vote as some of the others. David Hawkins is senior editor at Roll Call and writing in the Hawkins Here blog about why one of or any of these three could become the next attorney. Attorney General. David, thanks for being on the program as always this afternoon. Who are these three people that have a shot at replacing General Holder, and why are their names popping up more and more in the first place?
Well, the three names are three veteran Senate Democrats, all of them members of the Senate Judiciary Committee: Sheldon Whitehouse of Rhode Island, Amy Klobuchar of Minnesota, and Dick Blumenthal of Connecticut. And their names, and each of them has sort of rebuffed this idea with different degrees of certainty, probably, you know, and there are reasons why they would want to rebuff it, but maybe we can get into that in a minute. But mm-hmm. the reasons why you would want, if you're Barack Obama and your aim is to get an attorney general in place by the end of the year so that Eric Holder can take his leave. He's promised, as you know, to stick around till the end of the year. The idea is if you pick somebody from the club is not going to say no. The last time the Senate rejected one of its own for a cabinet position was way back in 1989. John Tower, who'd recently retired senator from Texas, rejected to be defense secretary. Barack Obama has put three sitting senators into his cabinet, and their combined number of no votes cast against them was, I think, five. So Hillary Clinton and Ken Salazar and John Kerry all cruised onto the cabinet because they were members of the club in good standing.
So this makes sense. And if I go back to Senator Tower, I seem to recall, correct me if I'm wrong, that he had some issues in his personal life that were so egregious that the members couldn't really look past them.
That was part of it, to be sure, and part of it was also that, to be honest, he was not he broke a lot of china within the Senate and was not really a popular guy among his peers.
So he wasn't really part of the club in good standing, as you put it.
He was a club member who tested the bounds of his membership,
forced his way in.
Exactly, but Whitehouse, Klobuchar, Blumenthal, all, you know, well respected. They're, as I say, they're all on the Judiciary Committee. They're all. Well, let's see. Dick Blumenthal and Sheldon Whitehouse were both the U.S. attorneys in their states and the attorney generals of their states. Amy Klobuchar was the district attorney in Minneapolis-St. Paul for 8 years before she became a senator. So they all have the chops. And, you know, even though they're at this liberal end of the Democratic spectrum, it would be hard for me to see why, how the Senate Republicans could stop this, even if they were getting ready to take over in the new year and might, in fact, want to confirm one of their own to get this big high-level cabinet position taken care of in the lame duck so they could start with their opposition to Obama fresh in the new year.
If we look at the political element behind this, David, Blumenthal and Whitehouse don't change the White House's, no pun intended, political calculus at all, because each of those states is governed by a Democratic governor, and I don't know the laws in each of those states, but I imagine he would be able to appoint, at least temporarily, another Democrat to fill that seat. Klobuchar is from Minnesota.
That's right. So it's actually Klobuchar who has the only surefire Democrat replacement, because Mark Dayton is a Democrat.
Yeah.
He's running for governor for re-election. Safe bet for re-election. In Connecticut, actually, you know, we rate the Connecticut governor's race a toss-up. There's actually a pretty good chance that the incumbent Democratic governor, Daniel Malloy, could lose. And whoever would make that appointment could serve only until a special election about 32 weeks later. In Minnesota, Klobuchar's replacement could serve for 2 years. In Connecticut, the law is they could serve for about 6 months. And in Rhode Island, actually, is one of the four states in the country, here's your political trivia for the day, where the governor isn't even allowed to fill the job. It just stays vacant until there's a special election. So if the election results are a 50-50 tie or something close to it. Having an empty Senate seat for 6 months would not behoove the Democrats much.
Wow. That is political trivia, which I didn't know, and I appreciate you bringing that to my attention. Do we have any sense that this is something that is high on the list of priorities at the White House? Because other than a couple of names that have floated around, I haven't really heard much of anything about the AG office.
You know, it seems to have gone into radio silence in the last couple of weeks. When I actually wrote this column a few days ago, when it was sort of the speculation was sort of still out there, it's gone totally cold in the last couple of weeks. I got to believe that the reason is that the president is waiting to see what the election result is and may go down a different path, depending on whether he's looking at a Democratic Senate for only another month for the lame duck, or whether he's looking at a Democratic Senate for the next 2 years.
Do we have any sense, or is there any history that we can look back on to teach us what can happen in a lame duck session where there is a transition, as a lot of people now, including your colleague Stu Rothenberg at Roll Call, predicting a shift in the Senate to Republican control? Can we derive anything from history about what the upcoming lame duck session might look like for agencies?
The White House has one bit of history that they like to promote in discussing the Attorney General's race, or which will be the only cabinet vacancy at the moment, which is that in 2006, when the Democrats won control of Congress to face lame duck President George W. Bush in the final 2 years of his presidency, the day after that election, Donald Rumsfeld resigned or was asked to leave, and the president had no trouble getting Secretary Gates confirmed during the lame duck. So the White House will point to that as by way of saying, if the same thing should
we did it for you, you should
here.
Do it for us.
Exactly.
Yeah. Can we learn anything about what a lame duck session might look like, say, budget-wise or appropriations-wise or any of that? Or is it too long ago since we've been in this potential scenario to be able to tell?
I think on the budget and appropriations and the CR and all those things that you and I talk about so often when you kindly invite me on, I think the dynamics with that change so much from year to year that looking back to what happened in the last lame duck when there was a change of party control isn't all that informative. You and I have discussed that I think that that if the Republicans win the Senate, and as you noted, Stu Rothenberg, the Rothenberg Political Report, who kind of directs our Roll Call ratings, now predicts, has taken enough seats off toss up and put them leaning one way or the other, that it is definitely leaning for the Republicans to take the Senate. If that happens, I think that the Republicans will push hard to keep the budget debate going on fiscal 15. Until they take over in January. In other words, the CR that lasts until December 11th will be extended somehow into the new year, and the Republicans will insist on finishing it up on their watch.
I do take some interest in Stu's latest column, which is titled, "What If I'm Wrong About GOP Flipping at Least Seven Seats?" I appreciate when someone is not so bold and so confident as to say, well, there's no possible way I could be wrong, because a lot of those people called the 2012 election for Mitt Romney.
That's right.
And we see how that worked out.
Yep. He is not afraid to be bold, and then he's not afraid to be honest in saying, you know, maybe I'm being too bold. But I think he actually wrote that column when he still had some of the races in the toss-up category. He is now moved a couple of these. In other words, he wrote his column, "What If I'm Wrong," when he still had several of them in toss-ups. Now he has moved several of them into leaning. I think he's moved Alaska most recently, which he used to have as a straight toss-up. We now have tilting towards Dan Sullivan, the Republican. He's the Attorney General, I think, defeating Senator Mark Begich. And I think in Arkansas, used to have that one as a toss-up, and now has it tilting towards Congressman Tom Cotton, the freshman running against Senator Mark Pryor.